Division 6, the Vindication of Mordecai, Esther chapter 9 verses 1 through 32. The Great Battle. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put into execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary that the Jews had rule over them that hated them, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. Esther chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The above citation explains itself. When the due time arrived for the first decree of the king to be carried out, the enemies of the Jews gathered themselves together to put an end to the hated race. But lo, there was a change. The Jews were ready and waiting for them. All fear was gone. They stood and fought against the folks that thought to slay them, and no man could withstand them. Their strength and courage were phenomenal, and fear fell upon their enemies. Even the rulers of the provinces have a change of heart. The lieutenants and deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Authority is in the hand of a Jew, hence the tide has turned in their affairs. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out through all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Esther chapter 9 verse 4. How marvelously we have the man Christ Jesus figured here, the Jew, who is destined to rule the heavens and the earth, and whose fame and greatness cannot be estimated in words. Who can doubt the typical significance of Mordecai? And all these types of Christ only feebly represent the magnitude and splendor of the glorious God-man, who shall sit upon the throne of empires. The news of the slaughter in the city of Shushan was reported to the king at the close of that eventful day. And the king said unto Esther the queen, "The Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee, or what is thy request further, and it shall be done?" Esther chapter 9 verse 12. Esther controls the situation. She holds the life of the people in her hand. If it is her request that more of the enemies of her people perish, then her will shall be done. Then Esther replied, "If it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows." Esther chapter 9 verse 13. Some have harshly criticized Esther at this juncture, but we must bear in mind that she represents the spirit of judgment which will characterize the people of which she is the figure. The spirit of meekness and surrender, the spirit of grace and love predominate the people of God today, for this is the spirit that Christ manifested to his enemies, and God is showing grace to the rebellious and blasphemous. Hence, this is our attitude. But this spirit of divine forbearance is going to change shortly. The lamb will become the lion. The tender, affectionate nature of Christ will be girt up, Revelation 1:13, and he will manifest himself in judgment. Therefore, the same spirit will sway his people. They will cry for vengeance upon their enemies, even as Esther, the fair, gentle lady, and their prayer will be granted, Revelation 15:6. Then again, it is not an indiscriminate wholesale massacre that Esther desires, but simply another day of opportunity to meet their foes if they sought to rise against them. She also asks that the 10 sons of Haman be hanged even as their father, as accursed of God. Deuteronomy 21 verse 22. On the 14th day there was another battle. The people were not satisfied. They had the daring to come out against the Jews again. Hence we see how wise the request of Esther was. The Jews were the victors again. They slew 300 men at Shushan, over half the number of the previous day. And we are told that, as on the previous day, they laid not their hands on the prey. That is, they would not be enriched at the expense of the enemies of the Lord. The Jews were equally victorious throughout the entire empire. We read not of the death of even one of them, but they slew of their foes 75,000. Truly their sorrow had been turned into rejoicing, and so it will be in the end of the dreadful day of tribulation which is due as the portion of the Jews. Their weeping and sorrow will disappear when the Lord comes to help and fights for them as well as in them. The Feast of Purim. Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep this 14th day of this month Adar, and the 15th day of the same, yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned from sorrow to joy and from mourning into a good day. Esther chapter 9 verses 20 through 22. The Feast of Purim was not a divinely ordained festival like the seven set times of Jehovah in Leviticus 23. It was simply the feast of grateful remembrance of the people for signal mercy bestowed upon them. And as commanded by Mordecai and Esther, it was in keeping with the figurative significance. The Jews, no doubt, all during the millennium will remember with feasting and the sending of presents one to another their wonderful deliverance from the death that is ordained of their enemies to be meted out to them. They called the name of the feast Purim after the name of Pur, or Lot, for Haman had cast the lot to destroy them, and they had truly learned by experience that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Proverbs 16:33. No device of the wicked against the righteous will ever stand unless the Lord allows it. They may cast the lot, make decrees, etc., but the final issue of it all is in the hand of the Lord. How good to rest upon the comforting assurance that if God be for us, nothing can be against us. The Feast of Purim then voices the nation's gratitude, though but feebly, that it was God that had come in for them and made their affliction the occasion of his acting in grace. Esther and Mordecai confirmed all the matters concerning the Feast of Purim. And so we have come to the end of our story. It has been interesting and instructive. We are always delighted to read about the brides of Scripture, for in all of them, even if they do not figure the bride of the Lamb, we have precious lessons taught us. Many of the characteristics are the same, and Esther has been especially charming. Her name in Hebrew, Hadassah, meaning myrtle, is fitting in our memory of her. She lives as the evergreen myrtle, sign of the resurrection of the Jews. Age cannot wither nor time destroy them, and even unto this very day, as the Apostle Paul declares, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11 verse 5.